I only hope that we don't lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse. Walt Disney. Frank arrived at work on Saturday afternoon, a couple of hours before the park shut, to get set up for the night. Checking the roster, he saw Gerard's name was now on the list, along with Asshat Alex and a couple of other guys Frank didn't know so well. The rest of the crew was security, led by Armand. There were lots of them, which was a good thing, considering the work they had cut out for them. Sometimes kids got themselves into trouble, and it was Armand's job to get them out. Frank scrubbed at the back of his neck and took a deep breath. He was feeling pretty strung out and crummy. Bob had told him, due to the sanitation issues with the pipes and the security issues with the club, that they'd had to board up his Discovery and wouldn't be able to get to it until health and safety had assessed it and they had the all-clear from head office. Bob had said it was more than likely they'd just concrete the whole thing in. Head office, he'd told Frank, had laughed their asses off when he'd mentioned the graveyard. Frank had quietly fumed, but in the end wasn't all that surprised. Just another one of his ideas no one wanted anything to do with. I am a graveyard. An ideas graveyard, he muttered to himself, and he strapped on his tool belt, checked his pockets for smokes, lighter, pocket-sized teen taser. Although he tried not to think about it, Frank couldn't help fretting over the whole goofy thing either. Kissing Gerard had been... well... it was pretty much the highlight of Frank's fucking year so far. But now even Gerard didn't really believe in him, even if he was still going to show up tonight like he'd said. And besides, since then, Frank had seen Gerard mooching round the park after Goofy, and having lunch with Goofy, and goofing off with fucking Goofy. What the hell was Gerard Tinkerbell Way doing kissing Frank with fucking fireflies twinkling around them, when he's hot for Goofy's stupid ass? And where the fuck had the fireflies come from, anyway? California doesn't even have fireflies! As Frank rounded the corner to the night crew's meeting place, he let his blood boil for a second and mentally planned an insecticide blitzkrieg on Main Street. Oh, hey, Francis! It was Asshat Alex, leaning by the service hatch of Small World, watching the rest of the team set up catering tables to be moved out into the park after closing.
Fuck off, snarled Frank.
Asshat Alex just laughed, but just before Frank could get up in his shit and teach the little asshole a lesson, Gerard arrived, loping onto the back lot like a crimson-haired Tim Burton character. Hey, you're here, he chimed, waving at Frank.
Yeah, I'm fucking... yeah, hi.
Frank scowled as Asshat Alex made kissy faces at Frank from behind Gerard's back and sloped off to annoy someone else. Great, so, Gerard said, looking shifty. You're not supposed to start for a little bit and, neither am I. So? Frank said, still giving the retreating back of Asshat the evil stare. So I wondered, Gerard said, and he touched Frank's sleeve. If you'd like to go on... He pointed at the emergency exit to It's a Small World and shrugged. Might be fun? Frank frowned.
There's a lot of work to do, Gerard, he said,
gesturing to the guys lugging boxes from one side of the lot to the other. Oh, yeah, I know, I do, but like... Gerard shrugged and smiled. We have time, right? Frank dropped his shoulders, took a deep breath, and rolled his head on his neck.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
He said, and gestured for Gerard to lead the way. His Saturday night was already a fucking wasteland. Why not compound it with a psychotic break-inducing children's ride in the company of the most unsettling man Frank knew? They traipsed around to the front of the ride and got in the short, late-evening line. Gerard seemed like he had something to say, but kept giving it up as a bad idea.
What?
Frank snapped, after the third aborted attempt to start a conversation. Are you okay? Gerard asked. He had a tiny line between his eyes. Frank was irrationally angry with it.
I'm fine, Frank snapped, cringing inside at the sound of his voice.
Gerard said, You don't sound fine. His voice was quiet, timid even. Frank rolled his eyes.
I'm fine. Let's just get in the boat.
They were the last people in the line, and the only people in their little small world boat. Frank laughed without really feeling any humor. Under any other circumstances,
Being alone on this ride with Gerard would have been his dream come true. But it was just time-wasting. This ride, this job, this time with Gerard. Frank fumed. It was just Gerard killing time until he was tapped for the Imagineer program or was pulled out to head office to be a coordinator. That's why, Frank thought bitterly, Gerard made sure to be seen around the park with fucking Goofy and not Frank. Frank, in his cynical ways, would only hold Gerard back. Goofy would love this, I'm sure, he said, squashing into the seat beside Gerard.
Would he?
Gerard replied, looking around at the tiny seats and low arch of the dark tunnel ahead and frowning. He shrugged.
I don't know. He's kind of an unknown quantity, Goofy. A sort of charming everyman. I love the guy. You know?
Charming. Right.
Frank felt cold all over. Disappointment rose up in his stomach like acid and made the rocking of the little boat almost unbearable. They were wedged in the seat pretty tight together, and Frank could feel Gerard all along his side.
The unending chant of happy, happy, joy, joy grew louder and louder as they drifted into the diorama world. And Frank was stuck. He couldn't stop being pulled along by the ride. It was inevitable.
Gerard lifted his arm and slipped it behind Frank across the back of his seat before pointing at one of the characters.
Fuck yeah! The Kiwi! I love the Kiwi!
Gerard chimed. Frank closed his eyes and let himself imagine for one hot second that this wasn't the worst ride he'd ever been on, that this was something else.
Then he thought about the boarded-up hole in the 33 kitchen wall, and the way everyone had laughed at him in the canteen, how Gerard and the Goofy had laughed too as he walked away. He seethed. Fucking Kiwi birds. Who the fuck cared about Kiwi birds?
As they pulled into the jetty a few moments later, Frank was the first one out of the boat. He hurried quickly up and over the small white bridge and back onto the fairway.
Gerard caught up to him.
Are you okay?
Gerard asked again, his hand hovering over Frank's shoulder. Frank didn't want to see Gerard's earnest face. Didn't want to be lured into thinking this was something it wasn't, like the park. Just another stupid illusion where people come to pretend the world is a better place than it really is. He stepped away from Gerard. Let's just get to work, he said.
Back on the lot, they spent a good hour or so decorating the signage and setting up more tables to be moved into the park in time for the teen revelers. Frank tried to avoid working with Gerard, choosing to hang out with Armand and help set up the first aid tent. By the time the kids started arriving and the DJs were cranking a particularly obnoxious blend of dubstep, garage, and plastics beats, totally at odds with the Weeping Willows and vintage-styled facades of the park, Frank had completely lost track of Gerard. When Frank had last seen him, Gerard had been helping Asshat carry the first of the trestle tables out into Toontown. With any luck, Frank wouldn't see Gerard again until cleanup at 3 a.m. But then Frank looked up from the wheelie bin full of Cokes he was filling up to take out to Tomorrowland and saw Gerard over by the empty helium balloon canisters, waving his arms around and trying to grab something, a crate, from Asshat Alex.
Fuck, Frank thought, and before he knew it, he was running across the lot towards them. Just fucking calm down, man, Alex was whining as Frank reached them. What's your goddamn damage? Jeez.
Gee, I don't know. Gerard said, looking down at the box Alex was carrying and tapping his chin.
Could it be the fucking case of vodka you're carrying? Here? In the park? You dicksmack?
Gerard, Frank said, tugging his sleeve and getting over his shock of hearing Gerard cursing.
Just leave it. Yeah, Gerard, Francis says drop it, Asshat sneered. Man, that kid was fucking messing with the wrong motherfucking maintenance guy. Frank turned on him. Shut the fuck up, he said, pointing a finger in his face. Frank turned back to Gerard. Come on, G, let's just...
Asshat interrupted.
Yes, come the fuck on. This is none of your business, Gerard. Right, Francis? Go eat a bag of shit and broken glass,
Gerard shouted, his eyes narrowing at Asshat Alex.
And his name is Frank, fuckhead!
Frank stepped in front of Asshat and turned to face Gerard.
I really think we should leave this be, G, he said.
But the vodka, Frank, Gerard said, standing his ground. No alcohol in the park. You know that.
And so does this fucker,
he shouted, pointing at Asshat.
I know, but...
Frank tried pulling Gerard away again.
No buts. They're just teenagers, for fuck's sake, said Gerard, appalled, his hands on his hips. Are you selling this stuff? Gerard whirled around on Alex. Are you selling anything else? Jesus, shut the fuck up, Gerard, Frank snapped.
Gerard blinked and looked at Frank.
What? You're okay with this?
Alex's nasal voice chimed in.
Look, it's totally fine. You'll get a cut,
he said, hiding the case of bottles under a tarp behind the balloon canisters.
The kids, they slipped me a little extra to bring it into the park, man. It's no biggie. Gotta do something to bump up the pissant pay around here.
Gerard made a grab for the box, and one of the bottles clanked onto the concrete.
Watch the fucking merch, man! Alex yelled.
Get this shit out of here or I'm calling Bob, Gerard said. And Frank had not met this Gerard, thin-lipped and dark-eyed, standing with his arms crossed in front of him. The tink was gone. There was just a self-righteous prig in his place. The change in Gerard sparked the rage that had been threatening to boil up in Frank all afternoon.
You can't! Frank snapped. You can't always fucking fix everything!
And do you think this is okay? Said Gerard, the cold calm in his voice making Frank's lack of calm ratchet even higher. There's alcohol.
In Disneyland, Frank!
Frank clenched his fists.
This is the last lie he was putting up with tonight. There's always been alka-fucking-hall in Disneyland, you fucking child, he shouted,
and even Alex shrank back. Gerard dropped his arms, but Frank's knuckles ached with squeezing his fists so tight.
Always, for fuck's sake, that's what 33 is. It's a fucking bar. Only it's not a bar for the likes of you and me. Oh no, it's for rich assholes who don't want to muck in with the rest of fucking humanity, swilling around the toxic fume-induced hallucination that is the happiest fucking place on Earth, T-motherfucking-M.
Frank, what are you... Gerard shook his head. He reached out to Frank, but Frank stepped back. He didn't want to hear Gerard, didn't want to be placated.
Jesus, he yelled, you're as blind as the fucking wage zombies we call guests in this place. You walk past it every fucking day and never even see it. 33 Royal Street, ring any bells? And Ray, the mythical Ray, he runs it. Mixing their fucking Mai Tais and vodka tonics right there under your tink nose. Why shouldn't the kids get to drink too?
Gerard's mouth hung open, and Frank could see the hurt in his eyes. He saw it, and he wanted to hammer some more in there on top of it. He pointed to the park.
Those fucking kids don't care about Mickey Mouse, Gerard. They don't care about Disney.
Frank sneered.
They care about M-I-C-K-E. Why am I still sober? They don't give a shit about this place. They don't care. He railed, throwing his arms up in the air.
He stopped and looked Gerard in the eye.
And neither do I, he said.
The only sound then was the harsh rasp of Frank's breathing, and the raucous cacophony of the party going on beyond It's a Small World. After a second, Gerard said, But you told me...
Frank cut him off. I know you said this and that, and I said a bunch of stuff, but that doesn't change anything,
Frank said, wilting a little under the weight of it.
This place is still just a big fat lie. Only fucking children would believe in any of this shit.
Gerard reeled back like Frank's words were an open palm across the face. Then I was wrong about you, he whispered. His eyes. Frank couldn't look at his eyes. I thought, he said. I thought they were wrong. But I was. I'm a fucking idiot. Frank chanced to look into Gerard's eyes then. And they weren't big and round this time. No, they were as flat and hard as his voice had turned. And you're an asshole.
Yeah, Frank said. I am.
Fine, Gerard said, sounding small and tired. He turned away and walked off the lot. Frank swung around to grab Asshat before he could disappear into the party. Frank was going to take that vodka and beat him to death with it. But the little asshole had already escaped. When Frank turned back, he saw why. Bob and two of his security guys were standing behind him.
You're being kind of a dick. You know that, right?
Bob said, and gestured for the security guys to take a hold of Frank.
Oh, come on. Sorry, Frank,
Bob said, leading them out of the lot and towards the dark heart.
Rules are rules, and you know how I feel about rules.
Frank wilted and let Bob's goons frog march him to his doom. Frank had never been in Bob's actual private office in the Dark Heart. Under any other circumstances, the picture of Ray on Bob's desk would have made him laugh out loud. But Bob's silent direction for him to sit in the low chair in front of Bob's desk kind of killed any levity in the situation.
Okay,
Bob said, sitting on the edge of his desk and crossing his arms.
You have something you want to say to me?
Frank rolled his eyes.
You want me to tell you about the vodka? Like you didn't already know when the dipshit brought it into the park?
Bob eyeballed Frank.
I did know,
Bob said, cutting him off.
That's not what I want to hear from you right now.
Frank shook his head. The sounds of the party, so brutal upstairs, were just a dull, distant thud down in the dark heart, like his own fucked-up heartbeat. It hadn't bothered Frank when he was in the middle of it, but now, sitting still in the chilly underground office, it was an irritation he really didn't need.
Asshat Alex brought vodka onto the fairway. I don't know what else you want me to say,
Frank said after a second. He hadn't known he was going to turn the guy in before then. Everyone knew people brought booze into the park for the kids. Bob usually caught them at it and handed them a pink slip then and there. Frank felt hollowed out and cold. He just wanted to do something right. Getting the booze off the fairway was the only thing he had. Bob sighed.
Fuck the booze. You really think the park is a...
Bob flipped open a notebook he had pulled from his tuxedo inner pocket. He liked to rock the James Bond feel at events like this.
A big fat lie?
Frank blinked.
What the fuck? You can't fire me for that!
Frank jumped out of his seat.
Come on!
Bob held up his hands.
No, of course I can't fucking fire you for that, but I can slap you in the ear. Oh, give me a fucking break,
Frank said, throwing himself back in the chair and fiddling with his walkie-talkie.
I know you. It's not like you believe so hard in... Shut the fuck up, Frank,
Bob cut him off.
And give me that. Give me the whole fucking thing.
Frank took off his tool belt and handed it to Bob, who put it on his desk, and then walked over to a filing cabinet against the wall. He pulled open the second drawer and pulled out a bottle and two glasses. He poured them both a drink and handed one to Frank. Frank took a sniff. It was honest to God, motherfucking sarsaparilla.
When I was a kid,
Bob said, sipping the old-fashioned soda and leaning back on the desk.
My dad drove me into the city to see some fucking Christmas parade bullshit.
He offered Frank another top-up from the bottle. Frank shook his head.
I didn't give two shits, right?
Bob continued.
But we're there. And my dad? God, he was so fucking excited. Like, I was dying with embarrassment, but my old man was... Well, that was his kind of thing. He was really just a big kid at heart. Anyway, a bunch of Warner Brothers tunes go past, and there's fucking Captain Kangaroo, and fucking Kermit the Frog and whatnot, when who should come strolling up Michigan Avenue, but fucking Mickey Mouse himself.
Bob stopped and smiled to himself.
Bob, shut the fuck up, Iroh, and listen,
he snapped, and fixed Frank with one of his patented no-holds-barred looks. Frank clamped it and leaned forward to put his head in his hands.
Cut a long story short, Mickey comes over and he hugs my dad. And, I don't know, my dad just... He lit up. It was like... Here's this grown man, hugging this other grown man in a fucking mouse suit. And my dad...
Bob stopped and rubbed his hand over his beard. He took a deep breath.
What I didn't know then was he was sick. He'd only found out that week,
Bob said, putting the cork back in the bottle and moving to put it back in the drawer.
It was a fucking tough year for the Briars, let me tell you. But when my old man was really down, every time it was bad, he brought that day up.
Bob shrugged and looked back at Frank.
That was his fucking... his cottage in the fucking woods, you know? Him, his kid, and Mickey Mouse. I came to work here,
Bob continued,
because I wanted to be part of the place that did that for my old man. That does that all the time. For millions of people. Every day.
He pointed at Frank.
So you tell me, Iroh. Is that a fucking lie?
Frank absolutely did not know what to say about this new information. Bob Briar was the biggest tink in the park. And for the first time, that word didn't seem like the embarrassing, demeaning, lame-ass thing Frank had always thought it did. He felt like seven kinds of asshole for never having known. How could he not have heard that story before? He thought about how much Bob gave to the park, not just in hours worked and heads knocked, but in patience and in care. A lot of people thought it was just because he liked being the tough guy. But now Frank could see. Enforcing the rules was Bob's way of protecting this thing that had been so special to his dad. Then he thought about Patrick, backing Pete all the way, no matter how outlandish his pronouncements were. He thought about Deweese, running the soundboard for the whole park, day in, day out, never once complaining that no one ever seemed to notice the way everything meshed together so perfectly. He even thought about the guy in the goofy suit, sweating it out in the Cali sun to bring a smile to some stranger's face. And he thought about Gerard. He'd called him a fucking child, as if being childlike was some sort of insult. God. Maybe there really were only two kinds of people at Disneyland Park. Frank Fuckhead Iero, and everyone else. He'd been a fucking asshole. He had to find Gerard. Frank jumped up and grabbed Bob's arm.
No, he said. No, Bob, the park is not a lie. That's the right answer, Frank.
Bob stood and went over to the door.
Now get the fuck out of here and fix what needs fixing, he said pointedly.
Yes, Frank said. He rushed up to the door and yanked it open, only to come face to face with Goofy.
You have the best timing ever,
Bob said, reaching past Frank and rubbing Goofy's big shiny nose.
Okay, so Goofy worked hard too, but that didn't mean Frank had to like the guy that made Gerard look seven kinds of happy, right? I gotta...
Frank gestured over his shoulder.
Frank,
Bob growled. Frank looked back at the Goofy. He noticed the actor had Goofy's head on wrong, twisted round like he was about to do an Exorcist 360. Bob seemed to notice at the same time and tugged the Goofy's head on straight.
Bob, I gotta... Frank said again. I gotta go, man. I have to find Gerard and tell him I'm an asshole.
Frank,
Goofy said. Frank ignored him.
I think Gerard already knows you're an asshole, Bob said, also ignoring Goofy. I think you have to tell him you're not one. But before you do that, I want to introduce you to someone. Someone who is very special to Gerard.
Frank blanched. So it really was Gerard's Goofy.
Fuck. Okay, Frank said. But what if I don't want to?
The Goofy started laughing. Bob squinted.
Frank. What if I don't want to meet him?
Frank bit back. Bob rolled his eyes. Said the Goofy. Bob reached up without taking his eyes off Frank and tugged the Goofy's head clean off.
Thanks, Bob, said the Goofy.
It was the skinny guy from the game the other night. Mikey, Employee of the Month Mark II, and Alicia's new squeeze. Apparently, one park romance wasn't enough for this guy. He had to take Frank's, too. Mikey turned back to Frank.
I said she talks about you fucking nonstop.
Mikey was about 7.5 feet tall, but Frank still wanted to take the stupid silk daisy and the stupid little hat on the stupid big Goofy head and stuff it up Mikey's nose. Bob rolled his eyes, and Mikey raised his eyebrows at Frank.
He said you were fierce,
the Mikey said.
Guess so, huh? Oh, Frank's not fierce, really,
Bob said.
He's just... funny with new people.
Bob flicked Frank's ear, but Frank was too busy staring Mikey out to knock his hand away.
Frank,
Bob said, as if he was talking to an infant.
This is Gerard's brother, Mikey. M-I-K-E-Y. Just one letter away from awesome.
Sup,
Mikey said, giving Frank a tiny wave. Frank staggered back a little bit.
His brother? But then...
Frank spun round to look at Bob. Bob nodded. Frank launched himself at Mikey, threw his arms around his neck, and hugged him.
Fucking hello, he said. Oh my god. This is really fucking good news. You have no idea.
Mikey replied in a less than goofy voice.
Okay, this is so not how G described you. Why?
Mikey patted Frank on the shoulder awkwardly, and when he leaned back, Frank saw him making a worried face at Bob.
Because, Frank said, squeezing Mikey's arms, I think I'm in love with your brother.
Frank bundled past Mikey and dashed off, leaving the sound of Bob laughing his ass off behind him as he ran down the corridor. For the record, Disneyland at night, teeming with overexcited teenagers, was a fucking nightmare. The noise, the taffeta, the gaggles of bleary-eyed boys in hired tuxes, it all just made it impossible to find anyone. Especially, Frank thought, if the person you were looking for didn't want to be found. Frank ran from one end of the park to the other, asking every Disney staff member he could find if they'd seen Gerard. But it seemed like Gerard was always one step ahead of Frank. Bill had seen him by catering in Tomorrowland.
Then Bert had seen him holding a girl's hair back while she spewed and her friends called her a cab. Guess asshat Alex wasn't the only one supplying tonight. Finally, after one more false lead, Jeffa pointed Frank at Royal Street, the chill-out area, saying he'd sent Gerard there to find Bob. At the entrance of Royal Street, mostly empty now with the party starting to wind down, Frank thought he saw Ray leaving 33. But that couldn't be right. Ray would have gone home hours ago. They never opened 33 during the night parties. What would be the point? "Ray?" Frank called, which seemed to scare the shit out of whoever that was. He jumped a foot in the air. But before Frank could get a good look at him, the guy took off, running down Royal Street towards the mansion. Frank jogged in the corner to see if he could catch the guy. The street was empty. Frizzy-haired not Ray was nowhere to be seen, and neither was Gerard. Then Frank turned, hearing... something. Someone calling? The door to number 33 Royal Street was standing wide open. His blood turned to ice. "Ray?" he called again, this time sticking his head inside the door of the club. He could hear people in there, and the sound of something else he couldn't quite make out. Fucking teenagers. "Who's in here?" Frank yelled. "You guys better not be pissing around. This place is off limits during the party." Frank walked into the lobby to see about kicking some high school ass and to check that the lift up to the dining room was still locked. It was. An excited holler arose from the corridor to the kitchen.
"Help! Hey! Help us! We're down here!"
The door to the basement kitchen was standing wide open. From the dark stairs, he could hear more than one voice calling for help, and the sound he couldn't quite make out before. Rushing water. "Oh, fuck me," Frank breathed. He sprinted down the stairs and through the kitchens to the back wall, where he could see the double fridge pushed to the side. Next to them was a gaping hole in the wall, much, much bigger than he'd left it, where the plywood cover should have been.
"Fucking help! Don't leave us here, you asshole! Help!"
A girl's voice from inside the fucking hole. Frank flung himself across the last of the space and onto his belly. He inched up to the edge of the ruined wall and peered over. His stomach dropped. Fuck. It. 5 or 6 pairs of very scared, very young eyes stared back up at him.
"What the ever-loving fuck?" Frank yelled.
"Oh, thank God! Thank God!"
one of the kids, the girl Frank had heard before, said.
"Please, please get me out of here!"
She started reaching up to him. Frank reached down to try and grab her hand, but it was too far. Their fingertips kept sliding past each other. There was no way he could get a grip on her. Frank tried to see where all the water was coming from. It smelled pretty rank, but it wasn't sewage. It smelled like... balls. Fishy, sweaty balls. It was the pipes running to and from Nemo's pond.
"This fucking guy told us there was some kind of fucking secret club under here,"
one of the other kids said.
"He said he could get us liquor, but when that didn't happen, he said he knew a cool place we could go. Made us give him $50 each. Brought us here. Then the fucking wall caved in, and he took off."
"Yeah, okay," said Frank. Fucking asshat Alex. That's who he'd seen legging it up the street when he'd arrived. Fuck. That fuckhole would never set foot in this park again if Frank could help it. He could sell churros at Knott's Berry Farm with all the other Disney hiring pool rejects.
"Okay, just... hang on. I am not leaving you. I'm getting help," Frank said, and pushed himself back from the edge.
"No!"
the kids screamed in unison.
"Fuck no!" one of the boys yelled. "Dude, there's like a ton of water coming in here. This ledge, it's going, man."
Frank leaned further into the hole. One of the pipes was broken and pouring water pretty much on their backs from across the cavity. He leaned out a little further. Frank could see the edge of the slim ledge the kids were standing on crumbling away. Hanging down into the black next to him was a rope, but it had broken just out of the kid's reach. Frank looked back and saw it was tied round the old brass coffee machine. Frank thought about the window-cleaning winch locked up in his workshop all the way on the other side of the park. He looked at where the water was pouring in. It was as if the pipes came down a separate tunnel. And then he remembered Gerard's story about the Imagineer killed in the mineshaft. This had to be it. The abandoned mineshaft that led to Tom Sawyer's Island. Holy fuck. Was there anything Gerard Way wasn't right about?
"Just don't touch anything," Frank called. "There's a way out down there. I'm gonna get a rope and come get you out."
Frank couldn't think fast enough. There were a few planks left next to the ones Asshat had ripped down to get at the hole. There wasn't any rope, though.
Come on, fucking think, Iroh. You're a goddamn engineer, not a pop star. Fuck.
He could hear one of the guys crying, and so was the first girl he'd heard calling out to him.
Then there was a huge whoosh of water, and all of the kids screamed.
He ripped open the supply cupboard and started tossing everything out. At the back was the floor polisher, with about 13 feet of power cable. Frank hauled it out of the cupboard and dragged it to the far side of the coffee machine bolted to the counter. Wrapping the polisher end of the cord round the base of the machine, he threw the rest into the hole. Frank scanned the room frantically for another cord, but one of the kids screamed. He dropped everything and skidded to the edge of the hole.
What? What? He yelled into the dark below.
You gotta fucking hurry! The girl cried. Please!
Fucking fuck! Frank sprang back from the hole and took a deep breath. Okay. He thought. Oh, fucking K. Can you try and climb up? He asked her.
She started trying, but her hands were soaking wet and the cord was slippery and plastic. One of her friends started sobbing hysterically then.
Calm the fuck down. Come on, just...
Frank looked at the longish lengths of wood in a pile next to the hole in the wall. He looked back into the hole, judging the distance between their flooded crumbling landing and the stable entrance to the mineshaft across the gulf. If the planks were long enough, he could build a bridge and they could get out at Tom Sawyer's Island. Using the cord, he lowered a few planks down to the kids. He'd never done this before, but he'd seen an episode about acrobats on the Wonderful World of Disney when he was 9. He had an idea of what to do next.
Grab them, untie them, and hold the fuck on to them, he yelled,
and when they'd done so, he wrapped himself in the cord and lowered himself gingerly over the lip of the hole. He longed, unhelpfully, for his tool belt and walkie-talkie lying on Bob's desk back in the dark cart, and cursed himself. All he had in his pocket was his wallet and his supposedly lucky Zippo. The cord slipped around Frank's hips, and he let out a yelp. He looked down. Almost there. He landed on the tiny crumbling ledge, and one of the girls threw herself at him.
Holy shit, man! She hollered.
Okay, Frank yelled, hugging her back. You're gonna be okay. Trust me.
The girl, almost out of her wits, nodded.
Okay, see that tunnel over there?
Frank pointed across the huge gulf, behind the curtain of freezing, stinking water.
You're gonna get out that way, okay?
No, no, no! Please, no!
One of the girls lost it and started trying to scramble up the cord. Frank heard an ominous grinding noise from above.
Whoa, whoa! Stop, for fuck's sake!
Frank said as one of her friends grabbed her.
Look, I'm an engineer, okay? I can get you out of here, but you gotta calm the fuck down, okay? What's your name?
He asked the terrified girl.
Vicky,
she sobbed.
Vicky T.
Okay, Vicky T. I'm Frank, and I'm gonna lay these across there.
He took one of the planks and slid it out across the void.
And then you're gonna... No, no, it'll be okay.
Frank took her hand and squeezed when she started to get upset again. The other 5 kids were clinging to each other. The water pouring in on them was freezing, and the edge of the little ledge felt completely sodden and unstable. Frank wondered how long they'd been here, and how the fuck Alex could have left them. He gingerly dropped the second plank down next to the first. There was at least a 4-floor drop beneath the kids down into the Imagineer's graveyard. If they went down, they weren't coming back up again.
Okay, Vicky T, come here,
Frank said, pulling the cord out and wrapping it around her.
Here's what you're going to do. You're not going to look down. You're going to let the cord out a little as you go, and you're going to edge right across this bridge into the mineshaft over there. Then throw the rope back to me, and I'll send one of the others.
Vicky T had stopped crying. She took a deep breath, looked at Frank, and nodded. He nodded back.
Holy fuck. This had to work.
It's so dark, Frank,
she said, biting her lip. Frank dug into his pocket and pulled out his lucky Zippo. He pressed it into Vicky T's open palm.
This is my lucky Zippo, so don't fucking lose it. You can use it if you need light over there, but I want it back, okay?
She nodded. Frank squeezed her arm and led her up to the makeshift bridge. Step by step, she shuffled across. Frank didn't breathe for 1 second until she finally leaped into the tunnel with a whoop.
Yeah!
Frank hollered. The kids were cheering, too.
Okay, Frank turned. Who's next?
It felt like hours, but it only took about 10 minutes for him to get all the kids across until there was only one left. Frank looked up at him.
Don't tell me, Frank said. You're the offensive tackle of this little team? The kid was big. He nodded.
That's why I waited till last, he said, grinning. Name?
The kid took the cord.
Gabe? Okay, well, you're up, Gabe. Let's go.
Frank fixed the cord tightly around him, and Gabe stepped out onto the planks. They made a fairly upsetting cracking noise, but Gabe just kept going, with his friends in the tunnel urging him on.
Don't look down. Just... Not looking down, Holmes, just... Practicing my dance floor ass wiggle here,
the kid said, shuffling a couple more steps forward. But 2 feet out from the ledge, a huge, fresh torrent of water flooded in from a new pipe break above. Gabe panicked and jumped. His momentum made the planks bounce. One slipped off the ledge at Frank's end and tumbled down into the hole. The other one teetered on the edge, but before Frank could grab it, it too fell, leaving Frank stuck on the other side.
Holy fuck.
Gabe!
Vicky T screamed.
Frank!
It's okay.
Frank took a deep breath. It was going to be okay. Gabe would just have to chuck the cord back to Frank and he'd... Fuck. He'd... Swing across. Indiana fucking Jones style. And everyone would get the fuck out of there. Gabe untied the cord, but as he threw it back to Frank, he heard the tension on the cord give above them. It sailed out into the void and plummeted away.
No!
Vicky T screamed. Frank was still, pressed up to the wall behind him. Holy shit. The ledge had crumbled away so much in the second deluge, the ends of Frank's chucks were hanging over the lip.
Vicky, listen to me, he yelled. You guys have to run. Really run. And get someone back here for me, okay? You need to find the guy in charge out there,
Frank said, trying to sound calm, even if his heart was hammering through his chest.
You need a big guy called Bob, okay?
Frank!
Vicky T was sobbing.
Just get Bob. Tell him I'm in the basement of 33 and it will all be okay.
Another flood of water washed down the hole.
Okay, go!
The kids took off up the tunnel and Frank was left there. All he could hope was that Gerard had been right about that mineshaft leading to Tom Sawyer's island, and that the tunnel was clear enough for them to get through. Frank was really, truly fucked. Below him, he could hear the grinding and cracking of one more level dropping away under the weight of the water flooding in. He pressed back against the wall, then reached out for the shred of rope hanging down from the kids getting to the landing in the first place, but it was still just out of reach. Fuck. Was this it? He was going to... fall. And that would be the end of Frank Iero. Frank was surprised to find he felt kind of okay about that. He saved those kids. He fell in love. He realized his inner demons were really just an inner Tinkerbell trying to get out. He dug his fingers into the sodden wall and squeezed his eyes shut. The only really fucking sad thing was that he'd never get to tell Gerard how sorry he was.
Frank!
And now he was even imagining Gerard's voice.
Frankie! Oh, fucking... God, Frankie!
Wow, his imagination under stress was kind of loud and slightly hysterical sounding. Frank looked up. Hanging over the edge of the hole in the wall was... Gerard.
Oh, God. Oh, God, Frankie. Are you... Can you hear me?
Gerard was reaching out for Frank, his long arm barely coming past the end of the frayed rope.
Gee...
Frank pushed away from the wall a little, but had to throw himself back. The ledge was too narrow.
Gee!
I'm here, Frankie, I'm here.
Gee, I can't. Do you have the winch? How did you...
The kids, Gerard said. They got out. I was taking a break on the island, and they came bursting out of that door. The one that's always locked? Strong-ass motherfuckers. Gerard was talking, but all Frank could think of was how glad he was that he could tell Gerard he'd been a dick.
Gee, I'm so fucking sorry. I'm...
It's okay, Frankie, it's okay. You can apologize after we get the fuck out of here.
Okay. Did you get the winch?
Gerard was silent.
Gee?
Bob's bringing it. Frank's stomach clenched. He's coming, Frankie, Gerard insisted. Just hold on. Frank looked up, and Gerard was still leaning down into the hole, still reaching towards Frank.
You should get back into the kitchen. That wall might come down.
But Gerard didn't move back. He shook his head. I'm staying right here. Frank swallowed a sob.
Sweetheart, Gerard called, and pushed a little further over the edge towards him. Just, you're going to be okay, just... Only now there was a fuck ton of water pouring into the shaft. The ledge was really unstable.
Please get back, G,
Frank called, as the sound of rumbling and tearing and crashing below shook the walls.
No, Frankie, no.
G, the whole fucking wall is gonna come down. Please.
I'm not leaving, Frank, so shut the fuck up about it.
Frank heard the crackle of a walkie-talkie, the one at Gerard's hip, and the sound of Bob's voice through it.
Will you both shut the fuck up? Everyone is going home tonight. Every frickin' one. You guys will be giving each other back rubs and kissing it all better before the night is through. Now calm the fuck down and focus. I'm on my way.
Gerard's laughter came out like a sob. See? You're gonna be okay, or Bob's gonna be in a bad mood for, like, ever. Frank laughed, too.
I'll be okay as long as the last pipe from the pond doesn't.
There was a tremendous crack and rumble from deep underground.
What the fuck was that?
Gerard yelled, grabbing the wall beside him as he almost toppled forward. Frank swallowed.
The last pipe from the pond.
Okay, Frank thought. It was okay. It wasn't so bad to die in the service of the happiest place on earth. He'd gotten to see Gerard, at least. But then Frank looked up and saw Gerard was hanging half out of the hole. And he could see Mikey behind him, sitting on his legs, weighing him down.
You saved those kids, Frank!
Gerard yelled, and reached for Frank again. Frank grabbed his fingers, and Gerard tried to drop a little lower. They hung in there like that for a few moments. Frank could feel he was losing feeling in his fingertips, a result of the constant cold water pouring on him. He couldn't keep his fingers hooked in Gerard's for much longer.
How does water get so fucking cold in California?
He mumbled, his teeth chattering.
What the fuck is up with that?
Focus on me, Frankie, said Gerard, his voice desperate, demanding. Just focus.
Frank looked back up at Gerard. He was so beautiful. Frank loved him.
I love you,
he said.
What? Frankie, look at me. You're slurring your words. What?
I love you,
Frank yelled, trying to shake back the bone-tired feeling washing over him.
Wanted to tell you. Before.
Gerard smiled, but the smile fell from his face suddenly.
Frankie! Oh God! Oh God! Hold on!
The ledge cracked and dropped an inch.
Gee.
Okay, stay. Stay with me. I knew that if you could believe again, then you could do anything, Frank!
Yelled Gerard, and Frank could feel his fingers slipping, just the tips now, clinging to Gerard's. Gerard scrabbled for him. Behind Gerard, Frank could hear Mikey shouting.
I know you're a believer, Gerard yelled. Knew it the very first day I saw you hiding behind that angry little face of yours. And if there's one thing the Magic Kingdom taught me, Frank, it's that anything can come true if you really want it to. If you believe. You fucking believe, don't you, Frankie?
Sweat sparkled on Gerard's upper lip. His eyes were fierce.
Yes, I do,
said Frank, and he fucking meant it with every fiber of his exhausted being.
I really, really do, G.
Then take my fucking hand!
G reached down, and Frank reached up. Frank could just about touch the palm of Gerard's hand. He closed his eyes.
I wish.
Suddenly, he felt G's grip tight around his wrist, the air whooshing around him as he was hauled towards the light. Gerard sprawled on top of him as they spilled onto the solid floor of the kitchen. Frank could hear Bob, tinning through Gerard's walkie-talkie, whooping in the background. And then Gerard's voice was in his ear, sobbing and laughing, and he felt Gerard's warm, solid arms around him. And Frank knew he was saved.
Somehow, I can't believe there are any heights that can't be scaled by a man who knows the secret of making dreams come true.
Walt Disney. Frank sank down into the frothy bubbles of his bath and let the chill leach out of his bones. Explaining everything to Bob and Pete in the dark heart after the rescue had been a blur. Mostly, Frank had just felt cold and kept asking Pete if they'd gotten the water turned off yet. Gerard, who hadn't left Frank's side or let go of his hand, asked Bob for some blankets and then wrapped them around Frank's shoulders, massaging the life back into him, just like he'd done that day when Frank had been caught in the mansion.
Come home with me?
Frank had asked, and Gerard had nodded. Once at Frank's place, Gerard had run a hot bath while Frank sat on the toilet lid. Then he'd let Gerard peel off Frank's sodden shoes, his stinky socks,
his ruined jeans. Suddenly, in the daze, Frank had remembered.
Goofy's your brother, he'd giggled.
Gerard had massaged some life back into Frank's knees. You found the Imagineer's graveyard. They'd grinned at each other.
Mikey thinks we're both brain damaged,
they'd said, almost in unison, remembering how hard he'd been rolling his eyes at them from the passenger seat as Patrick drove them home in his pumpkin orange Honda. Frank giggled, remembering it again now in the bath, and got bubbles up his nose for his trouble. When he was done wallowing in foam, Frank pulled on his PJs and shuffled into the living room to find Gerard curled up on the sofa asleep. Frank stood above him, marveling at his beautiful face, the way his eyelashes, so long, fluttered on his cheek, the faint blush on the bridge of his nose. He crouched down next to the couch.
Gee,
he murmured, and brushed Gerard's hair back from his forehead.
Gee, come and sleep in my bed with me, he said when Gerard's eyes fluttered open.
Gerard rubbed his nose and smiled at Frank. I'm sorry, I was just resting my eyes.
I know. Come rest them in my bed, said Frank,
and he took Gerard's hand and led him into the bedroom. Frank turned on the fairy lights, pushed back the muslin drapes around the bed, and pulled back the sheets. Gerard, feet already bare, shucked his jeans and t-shirt and climbed in. Frank followed, and they curled up together in Frank's huge canopied bed. Frank snuggled down into Gerard's arms, ear pressed to his warm, soft chest, listening to the steady thump of his heart. He smiled. Just as they were dropping off, Gerard said, Frankie? Frank replied, almost half asleep already. If you never believed, Gerard whispered, how come this bed looks like something out of a fairy tale?
Shh,
Frank whispered back. He ran his palm over Gerard's side and buried his face in the crook of Gerard's neck. They snuggled down together and slept.
I would rather entertain and hope that people learned something than educate people and hope they were entertained. Walt Disney. Frank can't be late. He's getting a gold star from his Imagineer today. The only problem is that currently his Imagineer is giving him something else. Namely, the best head Frank has ever experienced in his entire life. Gerard swallows, his eyelashes flutter, and he moans as he goes down again. Frank stuffs practically his whole fist in his mouth to stop from screaming the house down. Frank wants to take it so, so slow, but Bob will be beyond pissed if Disneyland's number one Imagineer and his assistant are late to their own Employee of the Month announcement. Again. When Pete was promoted to Disney Central after developing the Disney Museum of the Bizarre, with the help of Frank, Gerard, and the Imagineer's Graveyard, he'd had two conditions. One, Patrick would be going with him, and two, the only people to be considered for their jobs would be Gerard and Frank. Pete knew a winning combination when he saw it. Frank's hips are twitching uncontrollably, and Gerard hums, cheeks hollowed as he sucks long and hard. He slides his hand beneath Frank's hips, pulling him in, letting him slide deeper into the sweet, wet warmth of his mouth. Gerard's humming turns to delighted moaning as Frank lets go and comes. They've been running New Orleans Land ever since. And yeah, they really are a winning combination, thanks Frank, stretching and rolling round to return the compliment. It's a big day, and Frank wants them both to be relaxed, happy, and ready. That's because Frank Iero, Disneyland Imagineer's assistant, loves his job. He loves putting on his uniform. It's all primary colors and racing stripes now, instead of Pete's candy-striped mayhem. He loves that he gets to spend his day with Gerard planning new and ever more awesome ways to send people home feeling better than when they arrived. But most of all, Frank loves his Imagineer. Usually first thing in the morning, sometimes twice. Tinkerbells have the most wicked imaginations, don't you know? So what's not to love about working at Disneyland? After all, thinks Frank as he swallows Gerard down, there are only two kinds of people at Disneyland Park, Anaheim, California. The people Frank loves, and the people he hasn't met yet. The end.